Welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago.
All gas, no break.
If you're looking for the same old sports talk,
get out.
You've come to the wrong place.
Hey, we ain't come this far just to come this far, you hear me?
I tell you what I see, I tell you the truth.
We going hard today.
We're fearless, bold, and highly opinionated.
This show is so hot right now.
The biggest guests, the hottest takes, and the best interviews live right here.
Do you actually remind me of Dan Patrick? Because you ask great questions, you have the knack, you have the gift.
On Sports Talk Chicago.
Yo, Chicago.
Here's your host.
The guy's an absolute stud.
John Zagul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. Great to see all of you back here with us across the STC Syndication Network. My name is John Zagul. John Meadows is directing and producing. We welcome in all of our great listeners and viewers across Illinois and Indiana on WROK 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Life, WKAN 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, JED-TV, WJOB, and Cities 92.9 Talk FM. So much to get to today. The Bears have a new stadium idea. Will it get through the grasps of J.B. Pritzker and company? We will discuss. But the Bears have unveiled a new plan to build a new stadium in downtown Chicago. We have so much to get to on that. There's reaction. There are interactions. We're going to talk about it all here in just a moment here in our first segment. The White Sox continue to spiral out of control. So last week we did a video on them, and we talked about them on the program. They've not won a game since, as of this taping. We are going to discuss. Trust me, you don't want to miss that segment. Plus, Cody Bellinger's hurt, but the Cubs are still winning. What's good and what's bad for them after their third week of baseball play? Be sure you follow us all over at Sports Talk Chicago on social media. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. We're literally 50 subscribers away from 19,000 on the road to 20,000. So we appreciate all of your subscriptions and your likes on this video. And make sure you follow us again at Sports Talk Chicago. Appreciative to have you all here. And again, appreciative on the STC network too. It's great to see all of you. It's great to be with all of you on your radios or on your television screens or here on YouTube. You can find us at sportstalkchicago.com for all podcasting content. We have so much to get to here today. Let's begin. The Bears have a new plan for a new stadium. It won't be in Arlington Heights. It won't be in Naperville. It won't be in Waukegan. It won't be in Country Club Hills. It won't be in Aurora. It'll be in Chicago. Yes. Bears fans who said, don't leave Chicago. You got your wish with a plot twist. The Bears unveiled today a $5 billion plan for a lakefront stadium. And here's the kicker. They seek public funding to make it happen. Apparently, they don't have enough money to pay for it, even though they just paid, what, so much money for 200 acres of land in Arlington Heights. They paid for the demolition, then just left it vacant. Apparently, now they need the public's help. They need our help, the taxpayer, to pay for everything. Well, Cook County, specifically in Chicago. I don't live in Cook County anymore. But all of you living in the Chicagoland area, most of you, are going to be footing the bill or part of the bill for this Bears new stadium. This is from the Associated Press here. The Bears unveiled a nearly $5 billion proposal Wednesday for an enclosed stadium next door to their current home at Soldier Field. So that's the exciting part, an enclosed stadium, which means the Super Bowl is going to come to Chicago in the future if this happens. Concerts will be held at Soldier Field more often all year round. The Final Four could come to Chicago in the future. There are benefits to this, and I want to poo-poo the whole idea. There are a lot of good things that come with the Bears building a new domed stadium in the center of everything in Chicago. There's no doubt about that. I will not discount or discredit that. But again, there's a kicker here. There's a problem here. The plan calls for $3.2 billion for the new stadium, plus an additional $1.5 billion in infrastructure. The team of the city said the project would add green and open space while improving access to the city's museum campus, and it could also include a publicly owned hotel. $300 million is going to come from an NFL loan. The proposal calls for over $2 billion from the Bears to pay, which is okay. But, again, taxes. And they're looking for taxpayers covering half of the proposed Bears Lakefront Stadium. Half of the cost the Bears are expecting to come from taxpayers. Taxpayers are going to pay it, apparently. $2.3 billion from the taxpayers, from the public, to pay for their stadium. When will these owners learn? It just continues to happen, and there are no repercussions for their actions. It doesn't just happen here in Chicago. It happens all across the nation. Happened in Washington as of late. Nationals new stadium, public-private partnership, right? Or, you know, the public taxpayer-funded. You know, there are people out there today who could barely put food on the table. Sincerely, there are people out there today who could barely afford their rent or could barely afford their mortgage or buying a new home and having mortgage interest rates at 7%. The last thing people want to do is contribute their taxpayer money to a football stadium. What if I'm not interested in football? Right? What if I don't care about football? Why do I have to play a part in paying for this stadium when clearly the Bears could pay for it? If they had enough money sitting around to buy 200 acres of land in Arlington Heights, they're already going to pay $2 plus billion for this stadium. Where's the rest of the $2 billion? Why does it have to be on the taxpayers? Why is this going to be split half and half? The argument's going to be that there's going to be a huge benefit for the public, and maybe that's the case over time. It could be, you know, with economic impact. I could understand it. I know Warren said, and the Bears said in their press release, it could lead to $8 billion of economic impact. So, yes, it could pay for itself. But then the question is this. Who's that money going to? It's not going back to the taxpayers. It's going into the pockets of Bears ownership. It's going into the pockets of, you know, other restaurants or Chicago, city of Chicago. It's not going to go back to the taxpayers. Brandon Johnson, Mayor Johnson, said that there would be no new taxes to fund this project. No new taxes. Maybe they'll increase old or already existing taxes to pay for it. Look, I'm all for the Bears getting a new stadium. I still supported and still agreed with them moving to Arlington Heights. I thought that was going to be the best move, and I really thought they were going to do it. All signs pointed to Arlington Heights. They bought the land. They tore down the historic racetrack. They'd been hinting about it. They'd put out press release, post after post on social media. You almost assumed it was bound to happen. Then it didn't, apparently. And I think it was a grave misstep by the Bears. There are a lot of people who didn't want them leaving Chicago. They're called the Chicago Bears for a reason. That would have been a massive and exciting project for everybody involved. The Bears could have built not just a stadium, but an entertainment district on 200 acres of land. The Bears are working here with 13 acres of extra space outside of the stadium. They would have had 200 acres to work with. They could have built a stadium and then had a whole beautiful area similar to what the Cubs did with Wrigley Field. They got hotels now. They built out Wrigleyville. The neighborhood's called Wrigleyville. It was built out by the Cubs over time, and the Ricketts family poured more money into the area and made it this sort of entertainment hub. And the Bears could have done that in Arlington Heights. It would not have been impossible to access. Would have been a boon, a huge opportunity for everybody in that area. In addition to still Cook County, taxes would have still come to Cook County, but it didn't work out. And now they're going to stay in Chicago. They're going to do a publicly funded stadium. Governor Pritzker said that he's wary of it and that there, you know, nothing's definite as of yet in terms of how this is going to work. He said, quote, I remain skeptical about this proposal, and I wonder whether it's a good deal for the taxpayers. Illinois House Speaker said this, quote, if we were to put this issue on the board for a vote right now, it would fail, and it would fail miserably. There is no environment for something like this today. That means the Bears are going to have to hire lobbyists and convince the assembly that it's a good idea. I think eventually this is going to happen. They put out a big press release. They had a big news conference. It's going to happen. There's no doubt about that to me. There are certain benefits to this opportunity. We know that. Concerts all year round. Final Four. Dome over a stadium means, I would say, more fans, right? Nobody's going to have to worry about braving the elements to come to a Bears game. In addition to the fact that you will have a Super Bowl in Chicago now down the road. I'd say in the next 10 to 15 years, there will be a Super Bowl now in Chicago, which is unbelievable. So there are benefits to this, but the costs, in my opinion, outweigh the benefits. They do. You're asking taxpayers to foot part of the bill, to foot 50% of the bill, to put in $2 billion of their hard-earned money into this when it's clear that the Bears could afford it. If they could afford 200 acres of land like it's nothing, if they could afford to, at minimum right now, pay $2 billion plus to fund part of their stadium, where's the rest of it going? And why can't they not have to worry about taxpayers and just build it themselves? That's the part that I'm opposed to, and that's the part that I have a significant issue with. I was telling John before we started recording today, you know, back in the day as a kid, as a young buck, I used to say, you know what, who cares? It's a new stadium. I'm a sports guy. I'm so excited. But you know what? I'm an adult now. I get it. I understand bills and budgeting and tax, all that stuff. I understand. And I can understand why people don't want this to happen. You know, as a kid, I was like, man, just build the stadium. Yay, more baseball, more football, whatever it is. Now I get it. And I understand why a multi-billion dollar corporation like the Chicago Bears, the brand and the franchise, the history that exists within it, I can understand why people are mad that a corporation like that is relying on taxpayer revenue, taxpayer funds to foot the bill for part of the stadium. Because this is optional. It doesn't need to happen. It's not a necessity. It's not something that is necessary for taxpayers, for residents, for citizens of Chicago. It is purely amusement. It's purely amusement. It is not something that needs to happen. It's something that everybody wants to happen, and it'd be cool if it happened. We could be delegating a lot of money to a lot of different things besides this. That's all I'm saying. I'm happy that they're not going to leave Chicago. I'm happy that they will get a dome and they could do things year-round, but it sucks for the taxpayers. It does. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Yeah, it sucks. It's unfortunate. Another cool fact from Rob Schwarz, a Bear Goggles On, professional friend of mine, professional colleague of mine. This is going to be the second most expensive NFL stadium in the country. That's according to him. I don't know what the first would be, but according to him, second most expensive NFL stadium in the country. Again, the Bears are going to be shooting for the stars here in terms of making it high tech, making it state of the art. And again, that's great, but why do you need the taxpayers to do it for you? Why can't you do it? That's all I'm saying. $2.3 billion from the taxpayers to make this happen. And that's why people are angry. They like the renderings. I like the renderings. They look good. But what are we doing? And then this article here from the AP somewhat ends with this. The Bears spent $197.2 million more than a year ago to purchase the Arlington Racecourse, 326 acres. And what they were going to do there is build a stadium, restaurants, retail, and more on the property, all for about $5 billion with some taxpayer help. So, see, here's the thing, too, and this goes back to what I was talking about. We got to talk about value and money and spending money wisely. If the Bears were going to invoke taxpayer revenue and taxpayer funds to build Arlington Heights into what it could have been, you're paying $5 billion, but you're going to get 326 acres, you're going to get a brand new stadium with the dome, and you're going to get a whole entertainment district. That's way better in terms of funding everything for $5 billion. Now, we're talking about $5 billion. We're talking about for much less land, horrible parking, horrible traffic situation, still going to be in downtown Chicago, right near the existing Soldier Field. What about value for your money, bang for your buck? The Bears are not pursuing that philosophy with this stadium. They're not. Kevin Warren said at the end of the conference, quote, "I believe in Mayor Johnson. I believe in his staff, his vision. I believe in this city. I don't look at this as being a renter. I look at this as being able to develop a relationship, to be able to come together." People ask that same question in Minnesota. Why would you want to be a renter? Yep, because Kevin Warren did something similar for the Vikings. And while their new stadium is nice, and I think it was needed over time, the model was the same. They chose to use taxpayer money to pay for a stadium. I don't know. I think in this day and age, especially, where people are struggling every day, the last thing they want to do is help foot the bill for a taxpayer-funded new Bear Stadium that's supposed to open, according to Warren, by 2028. That's just me. I'd love to know how you feel about it. You know, you could comment. You could let me know what you're thinking. We'll be sure to address those for sure. But I have found very few people who support this. Maybe I'm wrong, but in accordance with people that I've talked to, things that I've seen on social media, people I've texted with, I don't find a lot of people happy about this. They're happy about the idea of a new stadium because it is overdue. Soldier Field currently is just not up to par. But the big sticking point is, why do you need taxpayer money to make this happen? Why not just do it? And remember, you know, if it's privately funded, well, the benefits are going to be privately reaped as well. That's true. Now, if the Bears don't depend on taxpayers build their own stadium, well, there are a lot of good things that come with that, right? The Bears can maintain their own facility. Not the park district. The Bears can own their own land, not up to answer to anybody. The Bears could collect more in revenue over time because they're a private entity. They built the stadium on their own. I mean, so there are benefits to just doing it all privately. There really are, genuinely speaking. Why do you need public money to build a private corporation's stadium? That's the philosophical debate right there. Why does a private corporation that clearly has billions of dollars at its disposal need the public to come up with $2 billion to pay for part of a stadium? That's just a horrible look to me. It's a really bad look. We'll see how this whole thing goes. Of course, things now need to be approved by the Illinois House, Illinois Senate, Governor Pritzker. You know, there's going to be a process here. It's not just going to happen overnight. So we'll see how all this plays out. But the Bears have a lot of work to do, and they have a lot of lobbying to do. They want to make sure they get this done. The Cubs are 14-9, and they're not even at full strength. We'll talk about it next right here on Sports Talk Chicago.
1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago.
Sports Talk Chicago. Here for John Zaglul. Great to have all of you here with us. John Meadows is directing and producing. We are live on all of our great radio and TV affiliates across Illinois and Indiana. WROK 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Life, WKAN 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, JTV, WJOB, and Cities 92.9 Talk FM. The Bears have a new stadium. We talked about it in segment one. I told you why I'm not a big fan of the taxpayer-funded initiative. If you want to hear more about it, go back and podcast at sportstalkchicago.com. Go on our YouTube page, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel. So we're just 50 subscribers away from 19,000. And we're right on the road to 20,000. We'll be there before you know it, I'm sure. You could also follow us all over at Sports Talk Chicago on social media. So let's talk Cubs now. Let's talk baseball. We got the White Sox next segment. I'm building up to that, people, so don't worry. We got a lot to talk about with them. But I do want to discuss the Cubs. Talk about a success story. I saw somebody tweet today that they're worried about the Cubs and their injuries and how it could derail a perfect season. Here's what I say to that. So far, so good. As of this taping, the Cubs are 14-9. They're second in the NL Central. A lot of time to go there. But talk about guys performing who we probably didn't expect to perform. And then a couple of guys who still aren't performing, who we addressed and talked about last week, who still have some issues they need to work on. We're going to discuss all that here. I want to start with right now, not only the potential rookie of the year through four starts, but maybe the Cy Young Award winner through four starts. I mean, has to do probably, what, 28 more? But Shota Umaga. You know, I got to say something here. A lot of Cubs fans were not happy with his signing simply because the Cubs missed out on the Dodgers' Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Cubs fans were not happy. Why didn't you get Yamamoto? You didn't want to spend the money, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll tell you what. Yamamoto's ERA is over 4 right now. And Manga's ERA is under 1. 4 starts, 3-0 record, .84 ERA. 21 strikeouts, 21 innings. This guy's a stud. And I'll tell you what, I did not expect that out of him at all. I was expecting maybe middle of the rotation type stuff. Certainly, I didn't expect anything bad, but I was thinking maybe 3.5, 3.6 ERA, 14-11 record, maybe 150 strikeouts. This guy's killing it. Manga is killing it right now. 30-year-old rookie, and I think has the potential, if this continues, to not only be the rookie of the year, but the NL Cy Young Award winner. He's certainly on track if he keeps up at this pace. I don't know if that's going to happen, but how about the biggest surprise of this season so far, by far, is Shota Umaga. There's no doubt about it. I am pleasantly surprised. I'm stunned. I'm excited for him, too. And right behind him is Javier Assad, which I'm not surprised about. You know, it really baffled me because I remember in spring training reading that Assad may not be a lock to be a starting pitcher. Why the hell not? He did so good last year down the stretch. If it wasn't for him and his efforts to step in out of the swingman role into the starting rotation and perform the way in which he did, the Cubs would not have been in playoff contention as late as they were in the season. That's the truth. Man, Javier Assad stepped up big time last year as a youngster, was tossed into a situation that he really shouldn't have been tossed into, and performed. So the fact that the Cubs were thinking about not rewarding him for that was malpractice. Fortunately, they did, and he's still performing, which is not a surprise. Assad so far is 2-0 in four starts, 2.11 ERA, 21 innings, 21 strikeouts. His ERA plus is at 2.02. Umaga's is at 504, which is unbelievable. Both of those guys are doing a great job at anchoring this rotation and making sure that everything goes the right way. Jameson Taillon came back, made his first start, actually did good. I don't expect that to last, but we'll see. One start, 1.80 ERA. Went five innings, got the win. Justin Steele, hopefully he's going to be coming off the IL soon. And, you know, the Cubs have also had Ben Brown get a couple of starts in there as well. So the starting rotation, with the exception of one player, which we'll talk about in a second, has been doing great. That's been a big reason why they are 14-9. It's been huge. And their lineup's been good, too. Really has. I mean, Cody Bellinger just got hurt, which is unfortunate, but other guys have been picking up the slack. Michael Busch, 26-year-old rookie, hitting .292 still. 949 OPS, six homers. Already, Michael Busch is killing it. Nico Horner has turned it back on as of late, a slow start, but hit over 400 last week to propel a season average up to .272. He's doing really well. Nico Horner, in my opinion, is one of the best all-around second basemen in baseball. He may not be a power hitter, but he's an amazing defender. He's a good average hitter, good contact hitter, and he's still good for 10 to 15 home runs per year. Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson up the middle is a really good double play combo, good defensive middle infield. And, you know, Dansby struggling right now, but hopefully he'll pick it up. If he performs like he did last year, it's one of the best hitting middle infields in baseball, too. Miguel Amaya, the heir apparent to Wilson Contreras, hitting .273 in 15 games. He's playing well. So there's a lot to like about this Cubs lineup in general. And according to Baseball Reference, which I have in front of me here, almost all of their starting lineup has OPS pluses over 100. Well, 100's league average. If you're above 100, that means you are that percentage above league average. So Michael Busch, for example, at 161, he is hitting 61% above league average. That's like MVP-type stuff if he keeps it up. So the Cubs lineup is clicking on all cylinders. The rotation, for the most part, is doing well. There are a lot of things that we have to like. Matt Mervis just got the call back up. We'll see how he does. Matt Mervis is been, for all intents and purposes, a bust, so maybe he has an opportunity to redeem himself here at DH and first base. He'll be going back and forth. And even on the bench, in terms of depth, Mike Tauchman continues to play well, and Alexander Canario, in eight games, also is hitting .286. I love this Cubs lineup, and for the most part, I love this rotation. But here's the interesting thing, and I know it's only been a week since we last talked. The same people who were causing the Cubs problems last week are still doing it here now. And unfortunately, the problems are so dire and frankly so horrendous that it is taking up a lot of media coverage when really it should be, hey, this team is a success. They're 14-9. That should be the majority of the coverage. And in some cases it is, but every time these players get an opportunity to pitch, things just go downhill. And it's talked about frequently. Kyle Hendricks is one. So Kyle Hendricks right now, 34 years old, as we know, 0-3, 12 ERA, 5 starts. His ERA plus is 35, one of the worst in baseball. ERA is at 12, one of the worst marks in baseball. He's given up 28 runs and 37 hits in 21 innings pitched. I don't know what the problem is with Kyle Hendricks. And when I hear Craig Counsell talk about it, when I hear Jed Hoyer talk about it, when I hear Kyle Hendricks talk about it, everybody keeps saying, we're searching for answers. We have to have tough conversations. We're searching for answers. I'm not for cutting somebody, especially like Hendricks, in the first month of a new season, but I'll tell you this. If it's June 1st and this is continuing, something's got to give. Okay, this is eerily similar to the Jake Arrieta experiment the second time around. The first time it went great. Then Arrieta went on to the Phillies, then he came back to the Cubs in his last year. His ERA was like at 7. The Cubs traded him to San Diego. His ERA was at a 6, then he retired. Nobody wanted him anymore because it just wasn't working. And that's the same here right now, at least with Kyle Hendricks. I mean, a 12 ERA is just disgustingly horrible. Pains my eyes to look at it here on the screen. Something's got to give. And I understand Kyle Hendricks' legacy. I understand he's the last part of the 2016 team. I get it. I know. I like Kyle Hendricks. I like him as a pitcher. I like his philosophy. I like what he stands for. He's a legit pitcher, not a thrower, not a, you know, strong-armed, 100-mile-per-hour fastball slinger. He is a pitcher, and he is smart. But I'll say it now. I think maybe the game's passed him by a little bit. You know, throwing 85 right down the middle is just a home run every time. If your pitches aren't moving, if they don't have the movement that they once had, if you are unable to control your pitches and unable to keep things in check, there's going to be a problem. I mean, Hendricks even has 7 walks in 21 innings. That's a little bit high for him right now. That's uncharacteristic of him. His walk percentage is up. His strikeout percentage is down. He's given up more home runs and more earned runs overall. His field-independent pitching even is at a 7.73, which is super high. So Kyle Hendricks has the warning signs of just everything. Every possible warning sign that you're worried about, it's popping up with Hendricks. It's like a car that just has like all the warning lights pop up at once. You're driving the car, check engine light. Oh, no. Brake light, tire pressure. All of it's popping up at once, and there's just no solution, and eventually that car is going to break down, right? Over time, if you get 100 warning lights at once on your car, it might as well just break down. It's going to. And for Kyle Hendricks, every possible warning sign is there. So if he doesn't have a couple of good starts by June and there's just no progress whatsoever, if I were the Cubs, I'd try to DFA him. I mean, no one's going to want him as part of a trade piece, or just flat out outright release him and move on. It might be difficult and tough from a heart perspective, but it's the right move in terms of, hey, we need to win now. The Cubs are past rebuilding. They're past, oh, we need to put butts in seats. They have enough players and they're winning enough to keep people engaged. They don't need to worry about a relic from 2016 that isn't performing anymore. It's not like it was 2-3 years ago. And even at that time, Jed Hoyer made the decision to get rid of everybody anyway. Because he's smart and he knows what he's doing. And I feel like he knows what he's doing here too. And I know Jed knows. I mean, there's no doubt. You watch his performance and you know, and you see it. Okay, something's off here. This is not working. This isn't the Kyle Hendricks of 2016. This isn't the clutch Kyle Hendricks that we saw during the World Series. This is a broken down machine. And what are we going to do with it? See, and that's the issue we talked about last week. You know, it's not like you could just move him to the bullpen. Kyle Hendricks throws 85 miles per hour. It's not like you can move him to the bullpen, add a couple of extra miles per hour on his fastball because he's only thrown one or two innings. It's not going to work that way. It's not like a Wade Davis situation where failed starter goes to be a reliever. He's only thrown one inning or two. His fastball velocity goes up and he becomes a dominant closer. That's not going to happen with Kyle Hendricks. He is purely a finesse pitcher who relies heavily on sliders and curveballs and changeups to outsmart the hitters. And I respect that and I'll always respect that. Mark Burley, Greg Maddux, right? Those pitchers I love. Those are my favorite types of pitchers in baseball. But when you're Kyle Hendricks and you're throwing 85 right down the middle, and you don't have good control of your pitches that you once had, you're going to get lit up. And that's what's happening right now. And here's the part that's tough. And it sounds harsh, but I'm going to say it. He is actively contributing to the Cubs losing games. And that's when it becomes a problem. Not a big fan of WAR, right? Wins above replacement, because it's an aggregation. It's an estimate. You know, you get guys with a 0.2 WAR when they have 100 RBIs. That's dumb. But I'll tell you this. Kyle Hendricks is a 12 ERA and he's 0-3. He's actively contributed to three losses for this Cubs team already. They're 14-9, partially due to Kyle Hendricks. So that's measurable and that's real. That's not an estimate. It's not, oh, his WAR is whatever. I'm sure his WAR is negative right now anyway. But the point is, you could actively see him losing games for the Cubs. And for a team that is killing it otherwise, to their credit, they can't have somebody like Hendricks slowing them down. So there's going to need to be a decision soon on what to do with him. And here's somebody else we need to talk about, too. We talked about him last week. We're going to talk about it again. Albert Azelay. So here's somebody who is now hitting rock bottom. 4.09 ERA. Three saves. Ton of blown saves already. I believe it's five as of this taping. He's only pitched 11 innings, and he's given up four home runs and five runs in total. 10 strikeouts, ERA plus now 106, which is really bad for a closer. Here's somebody else who's actively contributed to losses on this team. He has two losses already and five blown saves. So he has actively contributed to seven losses for this team. That's crazy. And I don't know what's going wrong for him too, right? Because last year, he transitioned into the closer's role, and it seemed like a perfect fit to his credit. And I thought I was so happy for him because he was a bust before that. Like it or not, he was a bust. The Cubs thought of him to be one of their next big starting pitchers. They tried it out. It didn't work. Then he was kind of bouncing around in the bullpen. It was kind of, well, are we going to keep him around? Then a need came up for the closer role, and he did great last year. So much so that I thought this year was going to be his coming out year. Maybe 30, 35 saves, under three ERA, all-star appearance. Not been the case. And I don't know if that's even going to change. His ERA's gone up by a whole run in just a week since we last spoke. He's blown a couple of more saves. He's added a loss to his record. And he has just given up so many home runs. He's walking too many people. It's only been 11 innings of work. And he's given up four home runs and four walks. He struck out 10. This is not the Albert Azelay that we saw last year commanding, pounding the strike zone, recording outs, being confident. This is a different Albert Azelay. Now, he's going to have to work through this. And I think the Cubs are trying to do that and see if he could really work his way out of it. But if he doesn't, they're going to have to turn the reins over to somebody else in terms of either closing slash, you know, setting up in the late innings. Hector Neris, who is supposed to be good, has a 3.86 ERA right now. He's kind of calming down a little bit. He has one save already. Daniel Palencia has a save, too, to his name, but he's on the 40-man roster. He's been optioned back down. So my point is, I don't know what they're going to do at closer. But I would say this, that if Albert Azelay is still doing this in another week, you may need to make a change ASAP. And he could win back the job down the road during the season. There's always room for that. But right now, again, he's actively losing the Cubs games. For a team that's 14-9, that's in win-now mode, that's expected to win the division, that spent some money this offseason, that is actually playing well, people like Azelay and Hendricks are holding them back. And this is not hatred. This is not, oh, I don't like them. This is the truth. They have actively contributed to losing games for the Cubs. Kyle Hendricks, every start he pitches in. Azelay, pretty much every game he closes. Something's got to give here. They're playing so well besides those two. And those two are ruining what the team has put together as a collective effort. And that's the part that's troubling to me. So I really hope the Cubs figure it out with those two, because everybody else is clicking on all cylinders. I got no complaints from anybody. Really, I don't. I hope that Cody Bellinger's injury is going to be a quick recovery. Say Suzuki's on the 10-day IL. I hope he comes back soon. Same with Justin Steele, who got hurt on opening day. They're all going to be back soon. When this team's at full strength, they're going to be fine. And I think they're going to easily make the playoffs, even in spite of these issues. But if these issues don't get corrected, they may not win the division. They may not go far in the postseason. That's why they need to really work all this out now. That way down the road, they're going to be ready. But other than that, really good start for the Cubs and manager Craig Counsell, who's working with one hand behind his back. I mean, you got Kyle Hendricks and Azalea blowing games for you left and right. You're still 14-9. Credit to him for being a really good manager and working with the roster that he has to win baseball games. See, the Cubs have a lot to be excited about. The White Sox, oh my gosh, not so much. We'll talk about it next here on Sports Talk Chicago. Stay here.
1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago.
Sports Talk Chicago. Ever John Zagluel, John Meadows directing and producing. Great to be here with all of you across all of our great radio and TV affiliates in Illinois and Indiana. WROK 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Life, WKAN 105.5 The Ticket, HGTV Jet, TBW JOB, and Cities 92.9 Talk FM. Great to be here. We had a couple of great, fun segments so far. Bears have a new stadium, and they're going to be asking for taxpayer money. How do you feel about that? You can let me know. You can comment at Sports Talk Chicago on social media. Let me know what you think about that. And then last segment, talk about the Cubs having a good year despite a couple of outstanding issues that need to be corrected. If you missed any part of today's show, you want to hear it, go to sportstalkchicago.com. Find the podcast. Go on any podcast platform you'd like. Also on YouTube. See my pretty face. Subscribe at Sports Talk Chicago. Hit the like button. You can watch all of our videos, all the segments. We're near 19,000 subscribers and appreciate all of your support. It's the segment you've all been waiting for. We talked about the Cubs, talked about the Bears, and I'll tell you what, the outrage that I felt for the Bears and their taxpayer-funded stadium doesn't even compare to what's going on with the White Sox. Really doesn't. So let me paint a picture for you for a minute. We do this show once a week. It gets sent out to all of our affiliates. We have a good time. We love it. We have fun, right? Last week when we talked, the White Sox were 3-14. As we sit here tonight and record, they're 3-20. They haven't won a game in a week. Oh my gosh, can you believe it? They're the worst team in baseball. And they've done nothing to improve themselves in a week. You know, you talk about adjustments. You talk about getting better. You talk about just doing things differently. And clearly they're doing nothing. And I've always been a supporter and a defender of Pedro Grifol. And I don't think all of this is his fault. Look what he's working with. But I'll tell you what, the manager is going to have to go soon, no matter what. Because at the end of the day, if you can't win just a couple of games, I mean, it would have been different even if we talked this week and the White Sox went 4-5 over their last 9 or something. They have just gotten worse. They keep losing. How is that even possible? Paul DeYoung's their best hitter. He's hitting .216. He's their best qualified hitter, Paul DeYoung. Yoan Moncada's on the 60-day IL. He doesn't count. He won't be around this team for a long time. Paul DeYoung hitting .216 is the best hitter the White Sox have to offer. Gavin Sheets off the bench is doing good, too. I mean, this is horrible. This is horrible. Wow. I mean, nobody's doing good. Jordan Leisure out of the bullpen's doing fine. Eric Fendi, the starting pitchers, the best starting pitcher on this team. He has a 2.73 ERA and 5 starts. That's great. But even Garrett Crochet got roughed up recently. His ERA spiked to 5.61. Michael Soroka, 7.50. Chris Flexen, 6.41. Jonathan Cannon, 7.27. This team's ERA in general, combining bullpen and starters, is at a 5.14. One of the worst marks in baseball. And as a team hitting-wise, they're hitting .192 as a team. With a .556 team OPS. .556. I have never seen a team this bad. I've never seen numbers so low this late in a season. And you could say it's not late, John. It's only been, what, 23 games? No, this is late to be hitting .193 as a team. This is late to have a 5-plus ERA as a team. Okay, it's different if we're 10 games in and all the numbers are inflated and then you get back on track in the next 20 or so games. It just gets worse. It's not gotten better. It gets worse and worse. I don't understand this. What's going on here? I mean, Martin Maldonado's the starting catcher. He's hitting .048. .048. His OPS is .162. His OPS plus is a negative -52. League average is 100. It's negative. I've never even seen a negative OPS plus. I've never seen that before. It's a negative 52. At least Andrew Benintendi is at 12. And Eloy Jimenez is at 95. I mean, what is going on here? Kevin Pillar is 35 years old. They signed him to minor league deals at $150. I am honestly stunned. And this isn't that big of a story. Again, we talked about this a little bit last week. It's not a big story because of the A's and what they're doing to their fans. Now, what are the White Sox doing to their fans? Huh? We talk about the A's. They're moving. No one's going to the games. Oh, only 5,000 people showed up. What's going on here? What do we talk about here and what's happening here in Chicago with this team? They're 3-20. Oh, and by the way, Jerry Reinsdorf wants the public to pay for one of their new stadiums, too. You know, at least if you're the Bears, I will say this. I'm not a fan of publicly funded stadium, but if you're the Bears, at least you could say, hey, we have a good future to come, right? We're going to draft Caleb Williams. We've spent money on this team. We've got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. You could make the argument that we have a good future. Invest in us. If I were their PR guy, I'd make that a slogan. Invest in us. And I would roll out a whole campaign to the public. I would tout the future that we have. That's the way to do it, right? And they could do that if they chose to. This, there's no future. There's no future. There's nothing to look forward to except Jerry Reinsdorf asking the public for money for a new stadium for a team that's 3-20. Okay, they're 3-20. You can't sit there and say, hey, we have a couple of good prospects. They have nothing. The guy who developed all these players is the GM now. I mean, this is literally a clown show. And I challenge Major League Baseball media outlets across the country. All you famous big-time YouTubers and, oh, what about the A's? What about the A's? Please cover the White Sox. Please look at what's going on here. The more coverage, the more people amplify the mediocrity of this organization, the better. Because then maybe something will change. I don't know. But this is not it. I don't know why everybody skips over this. I'm talking about nationally. ESPN. Everybody just kind of goes like, oh, you know, the A's, they suck. They're screwing their fans. And let's just talk about that. No, we got to talk about this now. This is a disservice to their fans and to the city of Chicago. Okay, the Cubs are sitting here playing 14-9 baseball. They're doing their best to win. I understand the White Sox are in the midst of a rebuild, and I understand what rebuilds are. But this is worse than a rebuild. This is utterly a disaster. This is literally rock bottom. It can't get any worse unless they go like 3-159 to end the year. I mean, this is so bad. They're on pace right now to win 25 games as a team. That would be the worst season in baseball history. Okay, and that's worse than the Tigers in the early 2000s, who currently have that record, losing 119 games in a season. The White Sox are on pace to break that record. It can't get any more futile than that. I challenge fans again. I challenge media outlets. I challenge everybody. Everybody, I challenge all of you to continue to speak about this, to not patronize this team, to not even worry about this team. A's fans are more united in doing this. I know a couple of them. One of them is the Baseball Hall of Fame tracker guy, Ryan Thibodeau, who's a friend of this program, retweets a lot of my stuff around Hall of Fame time. He has not watched an A's baseball game in 4 years. He has chosen to boycott the franchise for what's happened over there. Maybe a little bit extreme, you think, but then you look at the White Sox and they're 3-20. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense if you were a White Sox fan to say, you know what, I'm not going to watch this anymore. I'm not going to waste my time with this anymore. Until they field a somewhat competitive team. Me, I'm the idiot. I picked them to win 70 games this year. Boy, am I going to be wrong. They'd have to literally go on a giant win streak. They'd have to play like above 500 ball for the rest of the year and then some. It's not going to happen. This is brutal. This is futile. And this is flat out wrong. Okay? This is flat out wrong. It's unfair. It's unfair to the fans who followed this team for so many years. And then the kicker is you hear Jerry Reinsdorf say, yeah, Bridgeport hasn't been good to us. You know, we got to leave. Really? Maybe you haven't been good enough to your team or to your fan base. Maybe, just maybe, you haven't invested enough money in this team to be successful for at least 20 years. And that's why they're playing the way they are. And that's why you want to move. Yeah, of course no one's showing up to the games. Of course they're not. You know why? Because you suck. The only reason people even go to White Sox games anymore is because they're 3-20 and it's cheap tickets. They've always been cheaper than the Cubs, and that's great. I might have gone a little bit overboard, but this really, I feel so bad for the White Sox fans and for the White Sox fandom and nation. I really do. I feel for you guys. I mentioned this in my last video. I saw a couple of comments. I didn't even grow up a White Sox fan. It sounds like I'm a big fanboy. I'm not. I'm right down the middle. But I just see this from the outside, and I feel for all of you who are genuine fans of this team, who actually love this team, love their history, because like the Cubs, the White Sox have a storied history. They've been around since the late 1800s. They beat the Cubs in the 1906 World Series. They hit under 220 in that World Series and won it. The White Sox. They were the Hitless Wonders. That was their name at that time for that series. I know White Sox history. It's great. And yet they're putting this product on the field today. This is a team that has a storied history, that's been around Major League Baseball for 100 plus years, and this is what they're doing today. This is the product they're putting out there today. It's just like the Bears during their tanking years. I said the same thing. Storied franchise, legacy franchise, one of the founding members, and this is what you do. And it's the same for the White Sox here. And the White Sox, they play like a small market team. They act like a small market team, but they're a big market team. They have the money to spend. Their payroll is still at $125 million. I don't know what you're spending $125 million right now. Guess I should go in and look at their contracts before we get on the next show here, because I am perplexed by how they're spending $125 million on a roster where their best hitter's hitting 216. It's unbelievable. I mean, this is the worst of the worst, and I don't know where it's going to go from here. Maybe I'm being overdramatic. I mean, I said before that the Bears, it seemed like they had no hope with the Pace and Nagy stuff. And I was prepared for like a 3-4-5 year rebuild. And that didn't really happen. It was more like a 2-3 year rebuild. But I don't know where this one's going to go. Get a GM in place who developed all of this quote unquote young talent that didn't pan out. So I don't trust him to develop new young talent. You have an owner who's unwilling to spend money and wants to move the team out of Bridgeport because the neighborhood hasn't been supportive. You've got a manager who can't corral his players, and you've got a team that's 3-20. I don't know where this is going to go. I have no idea where this is going to go. So I feel for you, Sox fans, and I am really genuinely disappointed in what they're doing. It is beyond detestable. As a Chicago sports media outlet, it pains me to even cover them and give them any sort of recognition. They are playing so horribly. It's beyond bad. I mean, some of these guys would probably hit like 250 in AAA. And if you're hitting 250 in AAA, you'll never even get promoted. There are guys on this team today who should not be in AAA, let alone the major leagues. This team is a AAA team right now. It's just, it's really, really frustrating. I wish White Sox fans the best. I hope that this team could turn something around. But right now, it just gets worse. You know, I said last week they hit rock bottom. They've hit even a bigger rock bottom this week. It's just worse and worse stuff out of the Chicago White Sox. I hope for the best. I really hope that things get better. But I got to tell you, man, this is tough. And I don't know what the solution is. And I don't know what the end goal is. But I'm hoping that things get better. Cheers to the 2024 Chicago White Sox. And on that note, that's how we're going to end here today on Sports Talk Chicago. I appreciate everybody hanging out with us and tuning in. I want to give a big shout out again to all of our great radio and TV affiliates. WROK 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Life, WKAN 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, JNTV, WJOB, and Cities 92.9 Talk FM. Big thank you to John Meadows directing and producing, to all of you for tuning in. Follow us all over at Sports Talk Chicago. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you'd like at Sports Talk Chicago. Hit a like on this video and subscribe as we get near 19,000 subscribers. And remember, if you missed any part of today's show, if you're just hopping in and you're hearing us leave, don't worry. Go to sportstalkchicago.com or any of your favorite podcasting platforms, and you can hear the full show and segments of the show as you wish, on demand for free, anytime. Until next time, so long.